No plans this weekend? Hit up Slug Magazine's daily calendar and never have another Friday night in.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves.
I'm Ash Bassett. I play guitar and I sing in Breakfast in Silence. And we also have Val Brown, and they play drums and sing with us.
And I'm Russ Wood. I play guitar in Breakfast in Silence. I would say that the music we play is emotionally charged indie rock. Val would say it is deconstructive emotional yardcore. Either way, there's a lot of emotion zinging about.
Yeah, we've been called soul punk by our Dixieland friends, like Shit Dogma, and we've been called... We're probably just emo. We're probably just an emo band. You can stop listening now. So Russ and I met through just the local scene, like specifically underground, and I don't know, he just started coming around at shows.
Yeah, the first, I moved to Salt Lake City in March of 2016, and I met our friend Derek shortly thereafter, and I was following them on Instagram, and they posted a video of this band playing at this now defunct really cool venue called The Burrow, and the band had this absurd long name, Cat Ghost, formerly known as Ghost Cat, and I like messaged Derek like after listening to like a little bit of the video. I was like, what the hell is this band? This is so sick. And they were like, yeah, this is my friend Ashley's band, you should come see them sometime. And like, I didn't know Derek at all, and I like obviously didn't know Ash or Andrew. And then I think I went to the next show. I think actually the first time I saw Cat Ghost, Eichler's played that show. That might have been the first time.
Oh.
I just remember like trying to make conversation like while I was setting up or while y'all were setting up. And I was like, so like what bands do you all like? And you all just like looked at each other like Blink 182. Derek and I started a band called Slow No. We became like sibling bands in the scene,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, it was like Emma Park, Slow No, well, yeah, and Cat Ghost.
Yeah,
were kind of like the emo-ish bands.
Yeah, that like played every emo DIY show at the Underground.
Yeah, right? Like we were kind of like, I feel like we were the local support bands that you could count on a good amount of draw to support like touring acts coming through. So we all just became fam, basically. I liked messing around with alternate tunings. And so Russ was running Dora Underground one night. I showed Russ an alternate tuning that I was writing in and like tuned his guitar to it. And he's like, oh, this is cool. Do you mind if I write stuff in this? I was like, yeah, of course. I don't own a tuning. Like, I think it was like later that night, or it might have been the next morning.
I think it was later that night. I think I got home from the show, like drank a bunch of sake and was just like, guitar.
It was a full-blown song with like A, B, and C parts and like place for a chorus to go. Like, it was perfect. And I was like, this is sick. And so I like borrowed my roommate's phone. I wrote some lyrics real quick over it. And I like played it from one phone and like recorded it to the next phone while singing to it and then sent it back to Russ. And that's the first Breakfast song called You're Safe Here, which is actually our top track on Spotify,
yeah,
which is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's the only song on that record that doesn't have drums on it. And it's like probably the oldest It's definitely like the oldest song that we played, and it's funny that like that's the one that's been the most popular for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cat Ghost was kind of starting to crumble around that time, but I was like, hey, like, because Andrew and I, like, loved Russ, so I was like, what if we added a second guitar to Cat Ghost? And it just, you know, didn't happen, which, probably
honestly,
the best.
Definitely the best, yeah.
So, basically, Cat Ghost broke up, and I developed, I guess, an allergy during that time to bass players. And Andrew and I were like, yeah, no, we still have to write music together. Like, let's just keep doing this. So we started a band called Nose Goes. And it was just the two of us.
Played Aw Show. Right?
Yeah, Aw Show. We named it, like, right before the set.
I remember, like, 5 minutes before y'all, like, played at Kilby, you were like, what should we say on stage? Are we Nose Goes or are we Goober? I was like, both of those names are bad.
You didn't tell me that, though.
I sure as shit thought it.
But you were like, Nose Goes, I guess.
I think that was the general consensus.
Well, right? I thought Goober was cute because my childhood cat's name was Goober, and it would go from Cat Ghost to Goober.
Foreshadowing. Val's dog's name is Gooby.
Oh, it was meant to be.
It was absolutely meant to be.
We're all goobs. Andrew and I were like, we've always wanted to play with Russ. And I was like, let's ask Russ to be a bass player. Psych! Russ is my favorite guitarist, so let's just have Russ play guitar. We'll have two guitars. It'll be great. And it was.
And it was, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we all met each other. We just, like, pushed out a shit ton of songs. Because we knew we had an expiration date with Andrew, because Andrew had to go save the world in Oklahoma and teach underprivileged children, because it's, like, his dream. And, like, I was upset about it, but also knew I shouldn't be. But, so we had a due date for when he was gonna, like, ship off and do that. So we were just like, okay, let's just write as many songs as we can.
Yeah.
And we ended up writing an entire album and then some that we ended up putting on a split with a calendar year. And then it was kind of like, I mean, me and Andrew, and we were all kind of like, Val's so good at drums. Because, like, Val is in Slow-No.
Yeah, I'd been playing with Val for at least a year at that point. So, like,
yeah.
I knew, like, obviously their level of musicianship and compatibility was already there. And Val's just, you know, such a very caring, compassionate person, easy to get along with and full of creative energy.
And I like goobers like that.
Yeah,
like, and total goobs.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of fun. And they liked our band.
Yeah, they ended up joining Breakfast in Silence, and it's been wonderful. Breakfast in Silence is the first band that became, like, fully collaborative for me, because usually what I would do is I would write the songs, bring it to the band, and then we'd arrange based on that. And I still do that with Breakfast, but most of what we do is the three of us, Val, Russ, and I, like, sit down and write things together and craft them together. I think it comes out, like, more creative than I could possibly do alone. And
yeah, and there's usually, like, a lot of collaborative interplay, because, like, I will, like, write a part, and then Val or Ash will have an idea, like, oh, what if you played that this way, or did this chord here, and we all offer those kind of comments to each other on, like, oh, Val's doing a drum part, it's like, oh, try it on this cymbal, or try it with this feel, and so there's kind of just this triangulation of, like, ideas that I think always add up to, like, an end product that we're all really satisfied with, because
yeah,
we've all had equal input.
Totally. And all three of us are, like, songwriters, like, individually.
Yeah, sure.
And so coming together and being able to collaborate in that way, like, I think it just
makes us fucking rad.
I like us a lot. If you can't tell, I'm a big fan of Russ and I'm a big fan of Val, so yeah. Scene evolve a lot just since because I was living in New York before and was part of a really tight-knit and kind of small DIY community, and that's kind of where I learned a lot of like the ethics of DIY and a lot of the I guess guidelines of like how to show promote, how to take care of each other, how to build a community. But coming here, it's like we have our city's growing, and with that, like, it's still got that small lake city effect everybody talks about, you know, where like you go most places you're gonna run into somebody you probably know. But there's still like there are bands that are starting that I have never heard of or known any of those people starting all the time. So I think like it's expanding. I think with there being a lot of people and being a bigger city, like there's gonna be some division just based on like you can't possibly know everybody. Like I literally am forgetting people's faces now because like I'm out of file cabinets in my brain for that information. At least within like the scene that I'm most close-knit is we're always trying to welcome other people. As long as you're not dangerous to a community or like really shitty as a human, like you're welcome to come play. You're welcome to like mingle. You're welcome to be there. I really appreciate that and like love our community for that, that we're constantly like just trying to embrace people whenever we hear about new things.
I think a person who deserves like a lot of the credit for that is Derek Whitenkamp.
Absolutely.
Because Derek is always, through booking shows at the Underground, like always trying to find new local bands to support touring packages or whatever. And just like anyone in any sort of tangential scene, like, hey, come play at the Underground. Like, yeah. Derek will give anyone a show at least once just to like feel the matter, like try to incorporate them into our already pretty close-knit scene and friend group, honestly. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, I've only known from like seeing them at shows like once or twice, who like I'm now really good friends with. I feel like that's really a testament of our scene that I haven't really experienced in other scenes that I've been a part of, is just so many people's willingness to kind of not be as cliquey as people in these kind of art communities tend to be. Like, I feel like, going back to Derek, like Derek has no ego about them. Like, I book it like this DIY space in Salt Lake.
Like, Derek has, like, opposite
Derek has zero gatekeeper mentality, and like it's so refreshing and just continues to be so awe-inspiring that like even like some of the other scenes which may be a little like in the city, which may be a little clicky and kind of like, oh, you can't like play our venue, you have to like really know someone, like Derek is the polar opposite of that, and that just gives me so much hope for just how great and fulfilling like being part of a creative community can be.
I also kind of want to give some props in the last like year before our friends in Shit Dogma moved. They were running a punk house called Dixieland, and I think that also kind of helped show our ecosystem. Like, they were so inclusive, not just to punk bands, but like Breakfast in Silence used to play there. They called us soul punk. Are we punk? I don't know.
Maybe
an ethos or something, but I think there's always room for growth in trying to be inclusive, like no matter where you are, and I think we do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to keep track of a lot of people, you know? And people are going to glom onto people that they're, you know, similar to. So I think that is natural. If I die of black mold, will you tell my
mom I'm not mad about the last night? There's definitely been times where Derek's like booked a show and there's not like a great turnout, and they'll like hit our group chat and just be like, hey, if y'all are like hanging out at Legoland, like, come check out this band. Like, at the very least, like, watch the touring band set. I feel like all our friends and like the people we know are pretty good about that. Just like,
yeah,
giving someone a chance. Or like, I've seen, you know, to single you out, like, I've seen you go up to people at shows who like have not been to shows before and look like
lost.
Not a little bit.
They're like, yeah, how does this work?
Yeah, out of place, for lack of a better phrase. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, hey, what's your name? And I just like, I love that mentality.
We have a new album coming out called CW Loss. We've been really giggly so far. Don't be fooled. We're moody as fuck. But actually, no, like, this album's gonna be really moody. It has a lot to do with, like, experiencing some loss this year. And kind of just, like, the contemplation of, like, loss. I had a vocal injury where I was on full vocal rest for a while, which I ended up finding out was bad, and I probably would have gone to a doctor sooner if it wasn't because health insurance is a fucking crisis. But basically found out that I have a nodule, a very small one. I'm pretty outgoing, so not being able to talk to people was really devastating. Also, like, primarily, like, beginning as, like, a vocalist and that kind of being, like, the easy instrument I have under my belt, like, that was, like, to not have that anymore was, like, really devastating for me because that's, like, my main method of expression. And then I lost two grandparents this year. One was I lost in a really, like, scary, gory way. And it was just kind of, like, it was also just kind of, like, a rough winter for me as far as, like, depression and brain chemicals and stuff. So just having, like, the loss of my, what I felt like was the loss of my wits, the loss of, like, my purpose being, like, the ability to make music, and the loss of, like, important figures in my life just became the lyrical content for this album. Calling it CW Loss for content warning loss, just because I think it's really heavy, so I want people to know before they dive in that, like, hey, like, if you're experiencing a lot of loss right now, maybe just be prepared, you know?
Imagine
might not want to open this feed. Like, I don't know.
Oh boy, another fun, lighthearted emo album.
Sorry to disappoint. We're in the mixing process right now at Full Fidelity Studios with Steve.
Shout out Steve Phillips.
Hell yeah, Steve Phillips. And then we're going to master with our buddy Alex Cutler at Archive. Shout out Alex Cutler. We're going to go on a, we're going to hit the road pretty hard in spring and tour. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I should sound more excited when I... I'm excited about it. This next song is called Plant. It's a single we released recently, and it's in an acoustic format, and it'll be on our next album, Full Band.
It's going to be the first track on the album, so this will be the first taste of the record.
Can we just talk about how the tables have turned? I'm not flipping this one. My nails grow faster now that I'm no longer biting them down. I had to claw my way out, biting my tongue and eating my hands. It wasn't what I had planned. It wasn't what life. So our next show is going to be at the Underground. We're playing with my friends in Common Folk, and they're touring through with a slam poet called Chris Bernstorff, August 23rd, Friday.
If you like this episode of Soundwaves, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Thanks.
No plans this weekend? Hit up Slug Magazine's daily calendar and never have another Friday night in.